Welcome to this reading from Christabel. I'm Karen Callmaker, and I'm going to read from a portion of Chapter 2. Our heroine, Dina Rowland, is an investment banker on her way to a meeting with a new client. At closer range, of course, she could see into the display windows, but beyond was impenetrable. The place was downright scary, a bad image for a store. Remember, she told herself, this isn't a store, it's a gallery. No doubt many cosmetic changes were planned for the exterior, and once done, she was sure the building would be fine. It would be fine. She shook off the nonsensical prickles of fear and pushed her way through the door, which was propped open with a box. She gratefully dumped her saturated umbrella on the floor next to several others. There were no lights, but she heard voices as if people were just out of sight in the darkness. No wonder the windows had seemed dark. They were. Nothing sinister about it. Her voice echoed. Hello? Mr. Goranson? It's Dina Rowland from Berkeley and Holland. Light abruptly flooded to the foyer, and there was a cheer from the group of men at the rear of the first floor. Dina was temporarily dazzled. When her vision cleared, she looked around her with appreciation. Whoever had had this space before had done a nice job. She stood in a three-story atrium. A spiral staircase with gleaming brass banisters coiled upward. She took a deep breath and shook off the last of the heebie-jeebies she'd picked up from the exterior. She quickly focused on the three men walking toward her. Man one, black, close-cropped hair, off-the-rack suit, metal briefcase. The construction engineer, probably. Man two, not just white, but translucent, swishy, designer suit, shirt looking similar to her assistant Jeff's, but probably costing twice as much. Sheaf of papers. The obnoxious assistant, probably. Because man three, with the shoulder-length hair caught back in a ponytail, bronzed skin, and soft black leather pants and matching jacket, screamed artiste with every step. Dina was taken aback. Leonard Goranson was damned attractive, and he knew it. His handshake was cold and 2 seconds too long. He was perhaps an inch taller, but he was trying to make it seem more. The assistant didn't bother. Jason Williams was indeed the construction engineer. His handshake was warm and hearty as he reminded Dina of his previous work with other B&H clients. During her brief chat with Williams, Dina sensed Goranson's gaze on her, evaluating her clothes and her body. She was sure he did it to everyone, but she found his lack of subtlety annoying. "So we were just in the process of finding the lights," Williams was saying. "I haven't seen the entire structure yet." "Why don't we have a tour?" Goranson's voice was as cultured and accented as any Shakespearean actor's, but it was slightly flavored with an ever-present smugness. She already didn't like this guy, but she told herself to get over it. She reminded herself that becoming a partner at B&H was very, very important to her, making Goranson important to her. Her personal feelings didn't enter into it. The narrow building was ideal for a haute couture establishment. With only 3 floors above ground level, it was too small for a lot of inventory, especially when the retail space had to be uncluttered. There would be no crowded rounds of clothing or tables with bargains in Goranson's clothing gallery. She took some notes while Goranson expounded on his decorating theme and more when Williams made comments about structural changes that might be needed. They returned to the ground floor and headed for the basement. After some fumbling, Williams found the lights and they made their way into the most depressing gray room Dina had ever seen. "We'll make some changes in here, too, even if it's just the accounting people. A client may wander down here." Goranson made it plain that only what clients thought mattered. "Where does this go?" Dina gestured at another door that looked as if it might be at the top of another flight. Williams consulted the blueprints. "That's a sub-basement. Might be useful for secure record storage. Let's take a look." Dina swallowed when she heard the drip of water after Williams opened the door. She let the three men go ahead, which turned out to be a good idea since she was overcome with dizziness as she crossed the threshold. She gripped the banister and prayed no one noticed before she could get herself under control. She took 4 or 5 deep breaths and then opened her eyes slowly. The light was dim, and the room small. The walls, in addition to the floor, were unfinished concrete. The source of the water drip and damp smell was a section of concrete that had cracked, letting a few roots curl in. Roots to what? Just thinking about it made her dizzy again. The room itself wasn't a problem. It held echoes of of dull business, and but beyond the wall there was something. Dina shook her head violently and retreated through the door behind her. The dizziness immediately faded. She should have eaten something. That was all. "Are you all right?" Goranson's solicitous tone snapped Dina back to reality. "I'm fine. I get a little claustrophobic." "No reason for you to go down there again, then." She guessed that most women melted at the merest sign of his concern, but she knew his concern was for the millions Dina could bring by way of investors, not for any discomfort she might feel. A warning bell sounded in her mind. It was not her mother's gift helping her, just simple intuition. It would be a mistake to owe this man anything, even something as simple as a supportive hand at the back. She drew herself up to her full height and found a steady smile. "It's going to take me about 2 weeks to do a complete report on the building," Williams was saying. "I'll be back in London by then. Just fax it." "Send me a copy, too," Dina said quickly. She handed Williams her card. "You know how we work." "I'd prefer reviewing the information before it's sent to anyone else," Goranson said quickly. Dina saw Williams hesitate, then look at her with a silent plea. "Mr. Goranson," she began. "Leonard, please." She had to swallow hard to use his first name. It stung on the way through her mouth. "Leonard, then. Berkeley and Holland has a particular way of working. It's why we're who we are. We're not one of those firms that pastes their name on the client's work and sends it out to investors." "I should hope not, given your fees," charmingly said, but Goranson's gaze was flat. "When I send out your prospectus to investors, I will tell them in all honesty that I drew my conclusions and made my financial estimates based on direct, emphasis direct, knowledge in receipt of information from people like Mr. Williams. The investor will only have my word that you had no undue influence over Mr. Williams' estimates of what it will take to ready this building for your gallery. I never lie to investors. It's bad business, and it's expensive to you in the end. Any hint of any sleight of hand on my part, and investors start raising their interest rates. That is, if they stay in the deal, and the stock investors will want to pay less." "I understand. May I call you Dina?" At her nod, he continued, "Then we'll receive information simultaneously. You'll want to be present at initial meetings with furnishers, decorators, the stateside representatives for my textile suppliers." "Yes to all," Dina said. "It's how B&H does business. I'll also have to personally see your assets that you're pledging as security. I know you're not securitizing the entire investment, but what assets you are going to pledge, I'll need to examine myself." For some reason, this statement made Goranson smile. Dina repressed a shudder. "I think I can arrange that." "Great," Dina said with what she hoped came across as enthusiasm. "Just get me a list of the assets and I'll arrange to verify them." "Make a note, Gerard." Goranson gestured at his assistant, who did make a note, all the while giving Dina a look that said the effort he was going to was all her fault. "Thank you. I intend to make this transaction my number one priority, Leonard. George Berkeley will personally review everything I produce as well." "Oh, very good, then." Goranson glanced at his heavy gold watch. "I've got an engagement to run to. It just came up this afternoon." "Leo?" Everyone turned to the soft voice behind them. For the third time in the last hour, Dina was stricken with vertigo. Surely, it was just hunger and fatigue. PMS, maybe. Through the shoulders of the men, she saw a woman, or a girl, no, a woman. Her dark eyes were huge, and her skin alabaster with rose-stained cheeks and lips. She seemed like a mist, almost as if she wasn't there. But as she moved down the stairs with a flowing grace that mesmerized Dina, she solidified in Dina's mind. She had to be a model, but unlike most models, there was nothing boyish or waif-like about her. She was all woman, and lushly female. "You wanted to examine my assets?" Goranson gestured at the newcomer, who stood at the bottom of the stairs. "This is my chief asset, La Cristobal." Dina looked at Goranson and knew that he understood assets were something you owned. That was when she began to hate him. Leo looked at me speculatively, trying to figure out how to best make use of me, not for gain, but for idle amusement during what he called a deadly dull trip. He glanced at the woman next to him. Oh, I was to be used for her distress. I looked at her for the first time. It was as if a million candles flashed in my eyes. It took all my strength not to flinch. I never, never let Leo see me flinch anymore, but my eyes could hardly bear to look at her. She was so bright. I am used to fog. In a world of gray, only dark and light are visible, and I am draped in dark shadows. But then I saw her. Saw her with more than my eyes, with senses I hadn't known I possessed. By her light, I could see so many things clearly for the first time. Gerard's sharp little teeth and his twitching nose, and Leo. In her light, I could barely stand to look at him, so charming on the surface, but his flesh was pulled tight over a hungry and insatiable darkness. She was looking at me now. I saw why Leo was so pleased with himself. He saw her light, too, and I was going to be used to bend the light to his way. If her light wouldn't bend, he would extinguish it. Darkness was his specialty. She was walking toward me, Leo having said something about not being able to show me around the town tonight, and putting her in the awkward position of agreeing to show me the sights. We'd been here several days. I hardly needed an escort. Our schedule was also very tight, and none of the models had much in the way of social time. Apparently, I was expected to make time for Ms. Rowland. I didn't protest. It was pointless. Leo would have his way. And I found myself wanting her light closer to me. I don't believe in holy things anymore. I don't think I ever did. But if I'd clung to any belief in divine aid, Leo had driven it out of me. Leo had proven to me how powerless holy things are. And she was not a holy being. It was not a saint who asked me if I liked museums. But her light, it came from some source that Leo could never tap, a place I would never go. I could only nourish the hope that she wasn't harmed by my selfish desire to warm myself near her. I turned from the dark cold of the building, from Leo's disdain and Gerard's disgust, and followed her into the watery light of early evening. Thank you for listening to this portion of Christabel. It was originally published under the pen name of Laura Adams in 1998. For this brand new edition, I added more than 25% new material, and the entire storyline was revisited and augmented. The result is a modern story with what I hope are just the right touches of spooky magic. Thanks again for listening.